Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Promoting peace, liberty, and prosperity around the clock. LibertyTalk.fm.
Welcome to Living in the Solution with Dr. Elena George. Today we have one of my favorite guests on, somebody who I respect highly and who is on the front line with her nose to the grindstone, so to speak, really doing the due diligence that we all really need to be doing about education, about our what's going on with our health, everything you can imagine. And today we're going to have Miss Lynn Taylor, the Common Core Diva, come back on because it just seems like it's a moving target, Lynn, where you think you have a handle on what they're coming up with and you may thwart it or you open people's eyes to it, but then they have another way to come back at you again. And before the start of the show, we talked about how I think people are getting fatigued because it seems that most people are now aware, they've put their two cents in, they're not happy usually about what's going on, but they just seem to be ignoring us and doing what they want to and doubling down. So I know that you've got more information for us today, and I wanted to, one, welcome you back to the show and thank you so much again for your time.
Oh, well, Dr. Elena, it's always such a joy to be with you. And I know that your audience really listens and they really get it. And so I'm so appreciative to have this outlet to be able to raise awareness or continue to raise awareness about how our healthcare system, which you know so very much about, is morphing over into our education system to transform it, not for academics, but for whole body management. And, you know, the past couple of shows that you and I have done, we have discussed at length the Medicaid expansion in each of the states and from a federal level and how this is bringing in what's known as the school hub model that we have been warned about by Charlotte Iserbeet, that great whistleblower from the Department of Education under President Reagan, one of her dear cohorts, Anita Hogue, who is a concerned mom and an anti-federal education warrior since probably the early 90s before any of us really got started, who are present day warriors. So we've been warned about this, and I think you're right. People, they're not only getting fatigued, Dr. Elena, they're getting so bombarded with so many distractions that they cannot keep up, or if they do keep up, they don't want to hear the rest of everything.
It's really difficult when you know that you're unhappy about something. And you're not alone, and you're putting your voice out there. You're talking with whoever's in charge, whether that be principals or any governmental agency statewide, and they're just ignoring you. I mean, I think we had a conversation about this before, but I just wanted to revisit one question.
Sure.
Where's this money coming from? I would think that our property taxes and the parents and the local communities are who is supporting these schools. But if that's the case, then they should be listening to us. Obviously, it seems to me money's coming from a different source because they don't seem to care. Whoever has the power has the pocketbook has the power. So it seems to me that there may be another source. I know that federal money comes in, but this seems to be more lucrative than just that. Am I wrong?
Right. No, you're not wrong at all. But, you know, as we have discussed previously, and I'm glad you brought this up because this very much plays into everything that we're seeing happen with this transformation from school going to where Johnny and Susie can learn to read and write to where Johnny or Susie are medicated and hooked up on behavioral interventions and things like that. It's a three-pronged problem. You have taxpayer misrepresentation. You have private corporation funding who's coming in. So that's that public-private partnership, which is fascism 101. And then you have a government that is so corrupt and so out of order that they are printing money that is worthless. So there's supposedly an abundance of money when there's nothing to back it. So this is an economy crasher, even worse than the student debt load being foisted on innocent taxpayers.
With that in mind, now we need to, I mean, everything ties together on various shows that you've done. it's obviously no longer about education, because I remember you talking about people being taught in order to enter parts of society, basically teaching to place you into positions that they deem important, not what you want, not what your child wants, not what God's talents and gifts have been given to you, but how you can be a puzzle piece in this system where you basically just grist for the mill.
You're absolutely right. And if you look at the supposed 16 clusters that are in the career tech education and the STEM education, which is the science, technology, engineering, and math, which we know is from the United Nations. And we know that the career tech education is adult common core, but there are 16 career clusters. Now, that doesn't mean there are 16 professions, Dr. Elena. That just means there are 16 broad categories. And in each of those categories are a myriad of jobs. And one of the ones that is the most purported career cluster will be for the healthcare industry, because we're going to have a lot of supposed qualified healthcare professionals. But if you look at how these kids and adults are being fast-tracked through these career clusters, as we have discussed on previous shows, there are key steps to surgery or phlebotomy or any of those things, or mental health, that are being left out, but yet we're slapping them on the back going, okay, you can go treat somebody.
That shortcut is having, it's going to have chilling consequences.
Well, not only that, but you've got teachers who are so overburdened with the academic portion that are now having to come in and play quasi mental health counselors or behavioral interventions when they don't have, or 9 times out of 10, do not have the credentialing or the training for it. So again, we're doing our education system a huge disservice, but our federal government is not our friend in this. They don't care. They mean to do this. And this latest proposal by the U.S. Department of Education is a death knell for parents, in the form of the U.S. Department of Education is seeking not only to increase the power of Department of Health and Human Services over the Department of Education, but it is also seeking to remove parental consent from those with special needs for particular funding and services.
Okay, that's a huge mouthful, what you just said. Now, can you tease that out? I mean, that sounds more than chilling. Your child is being removed from the auspices or the power of the family, from what you're describing.
Well, here's the thing. If you look at the latest proposal, which is on the Federal Registry, and I do believe I sent the link so you can put that in the archives for folks, we only have until August the 1st of this year, 2023, to weigh in on, hey, I really like this, or, you know what, this stinks, or, you know what, the government's not taking my child from me. Because this proposal will sit here and tell you, oh, we're going to, and I'm quoting, the secretary proposes, and this is the Secretary of Education, proposes to amend regulations under Part B of the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act, which is Part B of IDEA, that govern the assistance to states for education of children with disabilities program, including preschool grants. Specifically, the secretary proposes to amend the IDEA Part B regulations to remove the requirement for public agencies to obtain parental consent prior to accessing for the first time a child's public benefits or insurance, meaning Medicaid, Children's Health Insurance Program, or otherwise known as CHIP, to provide or pay for the required IDEA Part B services. As there are no comparable consent requirements prior to accessing public benefits for children without disabilities, the removal of this consent requirement would align public benefit consent requirements for children with, and I hope you're waiting, disabilities and those without, and ensure equal treatment to both groups.
So everybody loses their rights in this system.
Yes, precisely.
So my question next would be, what are these services that they're trying to capture?
Okay. If no one listened to our Medicaid expansion broadcast that we did, we went over what all this encompasses. And basically what it means is that it covers anything under Medicaid or Medicare, anything under the Children's Health Insurance Program, anything that has to do with special needs, including mental health, including early education or, you know, pre-K, and then the individual education programs known as IEPs. It will expand the draconian measures of the healthcare system into each one of these targeted groups under a school-based service guide that has just been released by the Centers for Medicaid Services. And I sent that link to you. And I really hope that people will take the time to read the over 100 pages because it is very damning, the information that is in there. And basically what this is doing is it's saying that we just created under the Health and Human Services Department of the United States, a new center for technical assistance for school-based services under these Medicaid expansion grants. So anything that has to do, Dr. Elena, with any form of your health care, whether it relates to education or is outside of education, is going to be put under this net. It will also encompass non-school providers, especially those who are in multi-tier support systems or positive behavior interventions, which we know are mind manipulation. It will take care of all kinds of preventative care for Johnny and Susie and Johnny and Susie's family. It will center on mental health interventions. It will also focus on substance abuse, occupational therapy, speech therapy, and any sort of disease management, which is code for vaccines.
So the corollary question is, if the parent family decide that they don't want these services, will that lead to them losing their benefits? I mean, this is always a carrot and a stick. Okay.
Absolutely, they will, because their justification for this whole mess, my dear, is that it will somehow close the equity gap, not the equality gap, but the equity gap, and it will improve Johnny and Susie's academic outcome because they'll be so well cared for.
That's funny. Okay. sounds. I mean, it's a grid. It's a closing the loop on a grid where from cradle to grave, pretty much, the government will know exactly what you're doing. We'll have a big say-so because the pocketbook strings are going to be held by the government. And you need to jump through whatever hoop they decide they're going to create.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. Now, I will tell you, in this proposal, they have a background of the many pages of this stupid proposal. And it will tell you here, this is why they want the amendment to get rid of the parental consent. Okay. And I'm going to quote again. Since IDEA's reauthorization in 2004, the department has on multiple occasions examined the administrative steps that must be taken when a public agency seeks to access a child or parent's public benefits or insurance, such as Medicaid, to pay for the services under IDEA Part B for children with disabilities. Now, in 2006, the department enacted IDEA Part B regulations that required a public agency to obtain parental consent each time the agency seeks access to a child's or parent's public benefits or insurance. Okay, now the reason why I wanted to bring that little background up is because this amendment supposedly makes it a one-and-done consent. But what you don't understand is that consent has to be renewed almost every year. And with the amount of things that are flying under the radar that are going on in schools concerning our children, whether it is in academic or in healthcare, this is a dangerous precedent because if they're treating your child medically without your knowledge, why do they need your consent? And the thing that really irked me the most is when I went on the Federal Registry, because they are seeking public comments. When I went and made my dissent, almost every one of the comments that I saw were from these supposed administrative sides going, well, getting parents' consent is a nuisance, and parent consent is such a problem. And, you know, these parents are so in our way of what we need to get done. And yes, we need to streamline everything so my job can be better. You're sacrificing a parent's role as the nurturer and caretaker so your job can be easier? Go to Burger King.
It's not about learning anymore. It's about power, control. And I think if the parent, it seems to me too, that if the parent does raise a fuss, there's a vindictive side to this that could be mercenary and punitive. I mean, California strikes me as one example where they can take children out. I don't know if the law is passed, but it came around again, where they can use the children's services to take kids out of the household if the parent doesn't want to go along with whatever program they decide. That's very arbitrary, and it's unbelievable that the parents are, what is your take from the parent standpoint? You just mentioned the administrator side. What are the parents saying when they read this? Are you seeing any comments?
No, I have not seen one parent go, you know what, leave the government out of my child's life. I've not seen one parent do that. Now, I will admit it's been about a week since I've looked at the comments, but we really need to register our dissent, because we're not only seeing states like California come in and be arbitrary towards parents, but here in North Carolina, the Child Protective Services, that is also hooked in through Department of Social Services and the Health and Human Service Department, even if it is suspected that something's going on, without irrevocable proof, children are being removed from their families. And it is crucifying parents for no reason other than the government suspects, oh, there might be a problem. Now, how many times have we seen where it has been appropriate that someone has stepped in? Several times. But this is becoming not the norm. This is becoming the exception. And across the board, parents who are doing their everyday duty are being maligned, lied about, and just run over by a system that is chewing them up and spitting them out to get to their children.
We're going to take a break in a minute, but I want a corollary to this, because I just saw a Netflix documentary where it was a healthcare system that ended up taking the child away from the parents because they didn't like the parents' idea about how their child should be treated. Now, if this grid connects the school to the healthcare system, this seems to be, it's a monster that they're trying to create. You don't want a medication for your child. You may want to do a different approach, natural approach. Does that mean that they can somehow deem you to be a disruptive parent, that you're creating some sort of unsafe environment with me that they claim for your child, and therefore swoop in from that direction where it's not education, it's health?
Yeah. It would not surprise me. It absolutely would not surprise me. And when we come back from the break, I've got another little ironic quote from this proposal.
Well, let's take our first break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living in the Solution. We're speaking with the Common Core Diva, Miss Lynn Taylor. And you can read what she writes on commoncorediva.com. Everything, her blogs, her appearances in other shows, and what she writes. So, Lynn, before the break, I mean to cut you off, but let's pick up where we left off. I mean, this system is toxic, to put it mildly.
Oh, it is not only toxic, it's absolutely just, I am just absolutely thunderstruck at some of the audacity of the departments that are totally unconstitutional, saying, oh, well, you know, for hundreds of years, you've been able to do your family just fine, but suddenly now you don't know your way out of a paper bag, but we're here to help. Well, you know, I said, as far as the comments, we had a lot of administrators going, oh, well, this is going to make the burden on us easier. And, you know, I said, you know, if you want an easier job, go to Burger King. Here's the other part that the Department of Education is really honing in on, that somehow by reducing the amount of parental consent through the administrative burden, Dr. Elena, it will increase the access to all the money to be made with Medicaid. Now, here's the thing that Anita Hoag pointed out when she was doing all her research on this whole school model, and when the Every Student Succeeds Act took Title I funding and shifted it away from those with special needs who might need it to a whole school approach to create this Orwellian, we're going to cast the net, and whether you have disabilities or not, we're going to medicate you. The one thing that she said and was able to prove that because the schools had been federally recognized under Title I as quasi-medical centers, they could receive more Medicaid funding, not just through education, but now through healthcare and social services and a bunch of other streams as well. Now, what that does is that creates a felony for every school and every entity that participates in this, because that's known as double dipping. And double dipping into Medicaid is, again, another economic shock to our system that we don't need. So the government's saying, oh, we can increase the access. Well, that's the carrot they're dangling to these states to go, oh, yes, states, we need you to sign up to take care of this particular amendment that we're coming up with, because after all, you're going to get more money. And who doesn't want more money right now, Dr. Elena?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of budgets out there that are, you know, in the red, and they're happy to get something to help, you know, close the loop on that. But be careful what you ask for.
Well, absolutely. And it goes on to tell us in page 8 of this particular announcement that this is butting up to the Biden-Harris administration's established policy goal. Now, remember, policy is not law. It's an interpretation of the law to increase access to health and mental health services. It is not the federal government's jurisdiction to increase or access mental health for anyone. But yes, this is what they're going to do. And here are the three prongs, my dear. The mental health strategy by the current administration, which none of them are qualified as mental health professionals, strengthening system capacity. In other words, we're going to widen the net, connecting people to care. And if you're not under the net, we're going to stick you under the net, and creating a continuum of support. So in other words, that cradle to grave system we have talked about so much on so many shows, it's in living color.
It's so insidious, really. And you won't know until you're caught in the system. And on prior shows, you know, I was hoping that parents who wanted to homeschool, micro school their children would be outside of this loop. Will they be caught up in this type of system as well?
Yes, because remember, when the whole school comes in, the whole community model comes in, whether you are in that school system or you just happen to live in the zip code, this will encompass you. Now, we need to point out, Dr. Elena, for those who don't know, that according to the federal government, on page 11 of this proposal, Medicaid is one of our nation's primary sources of funding for health and mental health services, get this, for children with and without disabilities.
From the parents, again, from the parents' standpoint, and actually, no, from the doctor's standpoint, if the doctors are pediatricians, whoever caregives to these children, I wonder what the pressure on them will be to play ball, right? If they decide they don't want to use an algorithm, follow a protocol, will they get reimbursed? Will they be removed from the source of, you know, their treatment? Will they be able to treat these patients at all? And will they have to close their doors and then end up in a corporatized, government-based system? It's getting everybody pulled into this, whether they like it or not.
Absolutely, because it goes on to tell you on page 11 that what this will do is under Medicaid's, and this is a quote, under Medicaid's early periodic screening, diagnosis, and treatment benefit, eligible children, now remember, with or without disabilities, my dear, can receive comprehensive primary health. Anytime you hear the government use comprehensive, it means everything and anything you could possibly think of that's related to primary health, and that will encompass sexuality as well. It will be comprehensive primary health, comprehensive mental health, and behavioral health services. Now, it goes on to tell you that in 2014, guidance to state Medicaid directors, Centers for Medicaid and Medicare Services clarified that Medicaid payment is permitted for any covered services provided to Medicaid-eligible beneficiaries as long as they are delivered by Medicaid-qualified providers. So that just answered your question.
Mm-hmm. So unless you're in that system, you're basically locked out of giving care to these patients unless they're going to become self-pay patients.
Seems to be, my dear. Absolutely seems to be. And the thing about it is this giving power to the LEAs or the local education agencies. Now, I know in preparing for this show, you had asked me what in the world is an mm-hmm. LEA. Mm-hmm. An LEA could be something like those who are in administration over your school, but it also can mean after school clubs or doctor services that are connected to the school or any kind of combination thereof. It's a door for public-private partnerships once again to come in and take over what we the people don't want.
This is a template that's being used throughout society. I don't think there's any way to say this except it seems like they're getting everybody in this ducks in a row so that people's autonomy, their ability to regulate their own lives, their own pocketbooks, their own thoughts even, is being driven by this power, this overwhelming, overseeing communitarianism on steroids, where you follow the group, the herd mentality, whether it's in your interest or not.
Right. And one of the things that this proposal has done, my dear, is to try to justify, oh, well, we're going to be able to lessen the burden of those in the administration side by getting rid of a lot of parental consent. But it's also going to free up money for you to take advantage of. Oh, but it's going to save so much time. And here this is on page 35. It says here, the following chart describes the sections of the proposed regulations involving information collections or data tracking, the information being collected, data mining, and the collections the department will submit to the Office for Money Budget for approval and public comment. Now, it goes on to tell you here that right now, the regulatory for the data mining is requires that parents receive a written notification prior to the local education agencies accessing a child or parent's public benefits or insurance for the first time and annually thereafter. All right, now for the Office of Money and Budget from the federal government, it tells you here that the information collected under state and local educational agency record keeping, notification, and reporting requirements under Part B of the Individuals with Disabilities Education Act would be 9,422 hours.
Wow.
So this is why they want to get rid of parental consent, to make everyone else's job easier, to supposedly give you the illusion of more money coming into your school. And, oh, yes, saving time. Oh, we'd be such patriotic people, wouldn't we? But the one thing that we're giving up by agreeing to this is that the parents, one more time, should not be cut out of any consent. I don't care if you have to go get it every single day and how much it overburdens you. That's your job. And if it means that mom and dad get to protect their child for one more day, that's worth it.
Again, there's a parallel here in the healthcare system where there is doesn't seem like there's any more informed consent. It's just by you coming into the system, just like you described in the public education system, you're giving consent by having your child there, by going into the hospital-based system, by going into the hospital-based physician practitioner system, you passively give your consent. You don't get a say so in that system.
Right. And under this proposed regulation, yeah, it's on the administration's burden side to notify you prior to accessing the insurance. But, you know, when it comes to that annual notification, you might get it, but you might not. And who in their busy lives is going to take the time to write down, oh, yes, a year from today, I need to re-up my parental consent for Johnny and Susie?
Yeah, they don't.
Not trying to be oversimplistic. I'm really not. I'm trying to point out here that the government has no business doing this.
I absolutely agree with you. So let me ask a separate question about how we can wiggle out of the system. If the child is in public education, but they have private insurance, will that allow them a loophole to get out of this?
You know, that is an excellent question, and it is one that I have not seen even begun to be answered in this proposal. So that might be a temporary stopgap for families. That would be one of those solutions that we like to leave folks with. Mm-hmm. But yes, I would absolutely look into your private insurance. What does it cover? What does it not cover? Is there a codicil that you could put on? I know that at one point you were saying something about that you have access to some alternatives to private mm-hmm. insurance, Dr. Elena. That might be the time to bring that up to mm-hmm. also be a way to be a solution for these parents.
This is the lowest common denominator. While they foist it on everybody as inclusivity and equality, equity, whatever, it's the lowest common denominator. It's not like people are getting raised to a higher standard. Everybody's dropping to the lowest common denominator, and it affects the entire society. How do you deal with children who've been, I could just see this, how this would play out. Your child has an individual personality, and they don't go along. That's going to be a disruptive child. They're going to come up with some strange diagnosis. They may even medicate your child against the child's will. Right. How does that follow them as they go along in getting jobs and going to college, et cetera?
That will give them a label. Yep. That will absolutely give them a label. And whether they deserve that label or not, it remains undiscovered because, we've talked about it before. On these high-stake assessments, especially when it comes to your behavior, what if you're having a bad day? That is that frozen time stamp of you at your worst, but that's what they're going to run with. Not you at your best, not you having just a normal kid day, but we're not allowing them to be kids. And this is why maybe the alternative to the insurance that you were talking about, oh goodness, you and I did a show with Suzanne Hamner on the Liberty Bells, and we talked about this, and we also did this on Catching Fire, where you had an alternative where it was you took your life insurance and you used it to pay for what services you needed. Could you explain that for parents?
Sure. I mean, this is not everybody, but a lot of people have health insurance policies. There are companies that will buy your health insurance policy for cash, and you get to use it for anything you'd like to. So let's say the face value is $100,000. They may buy it from you for $80,000. They sell it somewhere else, so it's fine for them, but you're getting this cash, and it releases you from the bondage of what's allowed, what the insurance will pay for, pre-certifications. And in this instance, maybe it would release you to put your child in a different environment or have money to pay for childcare outside of the system so you could educate your child on your terms. But this is a system based on lack. That's what strikes me, Lynn, about this whole thing. It's about putting people in a position of extremists, where they think of is, I can't do it. I need the government. I need health insurance. I can't handle it on my own. And I'm here to tell you that is absolutely not true. You need to change your mindset from what you can't. I said it last show, and I mean it again. You have to change your mindset from what you can't do to what you are able to do. It changes your whole mentality on things.
Absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
How long are we going to let people run our lives? Because they're running it off a cliff. Everybody can figure that one out by now.
Well, here's the thing. I think parents are going to wait till the government literally shows up at the door and they go, well, why didn't you tell me? And then we're going to be like, honey, we've been telling you all along. But I want to go back to your alternative there. You sell your insurance and you can give Johnny and Susie the health care that they need. that would be able to help them plug into doctors who are maybe outside of the Medicaid mm-hmm. system. Is that correct?
Absolutely. You can leave the country if you want to.
Right.
So this is about having ultimate power mm-hmm. in, and control over your healthcare choices, your decision making, and your body. I mean, this is a system that takes control from you and from everything, from how you think, the medicines you're able to access, what procedures you can have. They get to decide that because they're holding the purse strings, and it's completely arbitrary.
Absolutely. Now, that would be a sacrifice on a parent's part, but you know, what are you willing to sacrifice for your child to be under your care without government interference? I would say, you know what, if I had one that was young enough to do this, I would take mine and I would cash it in. Yes, that means I'd have to go find another policy, but so what, you know? Yeah. If that's something I can do for my child to help protect them from this draconian Orwellian nightmare that is being set up to lure them in. I mean, I don't know how many people saw Chitty Chitty Bang Bang, but there was one scene where you had this child catcher, and he had dressed up his little portable prison cell on wheels. He dressed it up like a candy shop. And he lured the children in, and once he got them through the door, all the decorations fell off, and they saw they were in a prison. We cannot let our families get to that point, Dr. Elena, not on our watch. And if they don't take the reins to say, hey, keep my parental consent intact, you know, don't worry about your administrative job, at least you have a job. But let me keep my family safe. If they don't pick up that banner, then it's on them.
Personal responsibility, right? That's what it really boils down to. Do you want to have the power to take care of yourself? Do you respect yourself? Do you have really love for yourself and are willing to stand up against anybody or anything that tries to take it from you? And by extension, your child. I mean, my dad, my mom were just advocates for me. Nobody got between them and me. Mm-hmm. And I felt utter protection from that mindset. I think the parents need to start adopting that again. Everybody seems to be living their lives and, you know, getting caught up in various things that really don't matter. We spend more time being angry about things that don't matter instead of things that do. You know, who cares what goes on in Hollywood? Who cares about politics? It's really kind of out there and superfluous. Are they putting money in your pocket? Are they paying your mortgage? Are they putting food on your table? That's really what you have to come down to. Are they protecting you and your child's future? And if they don't, you need to step away.
Right. And I can't remember. I heard it just yesterday. Someone said we needed to get back to the basics of, like, you know, dirt, cows, and sunshine, meaning we needed to take care of ourselves. And we should have been doing that all along. The minute that we let the government come in and lull us with any sort of subsidy, because remember, in the government's eyes, the more subsidized it is, especially under the perusal of education, the more totalitarian it becomes.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right, Lynn. And on that note, let's take our last break, because that is the kernel of what people need to take away from on the show. Whoever has that power of the purse controls everything. If you give it to them, you're not getting it back. People need to understand that. This is a one-way transfer. So on that note, let's take our last break. You're living in the solution. Welcome back to Living in the Solution. We're speaking with Miss Lynn Taylor. And Lynn, how can people find your work and also listen to what you do?
Oh, well, thank you, Dr. Elena. Yes, commoncorediva.com. I do have a donate space. So if you wish to financially bless any of the work that I do, those donations will be absolutely wonderful and go to help offset some of the time and energy and resources that I bring together for so many people. I also have an info kit out available right now, Dr. Elena, under the donation tab, that is to help educate people on the fallacies of school choice, because the whole school model will play into school choice. And so people may not understand how that connects. Maybe we can do another show on how those two connect. But yes, I have that as well And those info kits will come with online resources as well as hard copies of particular documents and bumper stickers and things like that. So I have that available. My webmaster has been able to put together whole sections for not only my articles that have been over since 2014, but a lot of the podcasts and video interviews that I've done as well.
Well, it's a wealth of knowledge, and you've been doing this at the beginning. I mean, people can actually take a history lesson in this. It's really about educating yourself. You can't, and Lynn, you do a fantastic job. But I think you'd be the first one to say you need to do your research, right?
Oh, absolutely.
It's about everybody getting skin in the game and not being passive anymore. You can't be passive in this situation because you're going to end up somehow getting taken, whether they get you on some sort of emotional hook or a financial hook or something. You just have to be able to navigate. This is a mercenary system. And I think that one thing that people need to understand, whether it's healthcare, politics, whatever, they do not have your best interest at heart. It's all about maintaining the system and empowering it at your expense.
It absolutely is. Now, I want to bring up something from page 29 before we get into our solutions. And this is that whole stupid justification about, oh, yes, it's going to save time and increase money and so on and so forth. Now, the Department of Education has estimated, my dear, that the benefit, we estimate that as a result of this proposed rule, cost reductions to the local education agencies will equal over $4 million, and benefits to the parents will equal over $1 million during the first year of this. So this is not a one-year thing. This is going to be continual. There's no end to this. We assume, this is continuing, we assume that for each of the 293,805 new students who will be eligible to receive services under Medicaid, special education teachers and parents would benefit as a result of this proposed rule due to time saved, resulting from the removal of the requirement from standard Medicaid parental consent forms. We estimate a benefit to the LEAs, the local education agencies, of $16.76 per student for a national benefit of over $4 million and time saved 15 minutes for each of those 293,000 students. Okay, I want you to look at the way they framed this, dear. They're telling you, oh, we're going to save time, we're going to save money, and then we're going to have a national benefit. Does this sound socialistic to you?
It does. But you know what's missing in this? Well, I mean, to catch up, it's education. What are these kids learning, and what are they actually able to graduate and know? You know, there's no, I don't see anything about the actual quantitative side of education. It's about control.
No. It's not in here. And let me go on. If you think $16.76 price tag on your child is bad enough, it gets worse. It says here, it will save 15 minutes for each of the eligible students because it would take special education teachers less time, Dr. Elena, to explain and review the IDEA-specific sections of the Medicaid consent forms. So we estimate a benefit to the parent. Are you ready? $3.60 per student. So if you want to know what the government really thinks of Johnny and Susie, think $3.60.
That's tragic.
That is abysmal. That is an insult to God Almighty.
So again,
we are priceless human beings.
Agreed. So if we're talking about equity and inclusion, just think of the disparity really now between people who are able to pay for their child's education. And that's the second question I have. Those who are able to pay for private education, if this is truly separate, then it's absolutely unequal. But my secondary question is, are the private schools also getting hooked into this in any way?
Absolutely. They're taking federal grants or they're taking federal education waivers, and waivers are part of the release system that the insurance needs for it to kick in so that the school can accept the money.
Lynn, this makes absolutely no sense. So they've pervaded the entire education system because you want to control the minds and the future of the entire, of the future of our country, right? Whether you've got means or not, you're all going to be on the hook for some sort of behavioral control, maybe medication, certainly whether you're going to be able to have the, how should I put it, not being having a past that's going to haunt you when you try to get a job in the future. I mean, this is, it's unbelievable, honestly.
Well, it absolutely is. But remember, all those assessments, whether they're for behavior or for career, it's all going to be artificial intelligence. It's all going to be the algorithms. It's all going to be the Bitcoin and the cyber coin. And, you know, as we've talked about before, this is going to put you worth more online than as a living, breathing human being. And as you just heard in the proposal, they're looking at children being worth $3.60. And yes, I'm being very dramatic because I'm trying to drive home a point.
So I have to ask the major question.
Mm-hmm.
Who stands to gain?
Well, it's certainly not the parents.
No, it's not the child
either. It's the government. It is the government. And see, part of the how this backs into school choice is because under the Every Student Succeeds Act, Dr. Elena, on page 17 of the final conference report and on page 33 of the final law version, it said that all education had to be aligned to the same post-secondary readiness standards as laid out by the Workforce Innovation and Opportunity Act. Woven into all education was multi-tiered support systems, positive behavior interventions, mental health overreaches because of the Medicaid shift to Title I, which was supposed to be for special needs students specifically. But when they shifted it to whole school, that meant that every child was under this assessment. Every child was under that banner. So when they say every student succeeds, they don't mean that Johnny and Susie get to go have personal God-given success. No, it means that the system will continually fail them so that the system can come in and say, oh, well, we're going to make you a success, and here's the box you will fit in to do it.
So I have to go back in time now. When we talked about No Child Left Behind, mm-hmm. that was benign compared to this, from what you just described.
Well, absolutely. But here's what a lot of people don't know, because they didn't take the time to read those over 1,000 pages like I did. And you would know if you read it that the No Child Left Behind was codified. It was not done away with. It was codified, meaning it gets to live on. Just like the Elementary and Secondary Education Act of 1965, it got to live on. So everything that Eisenhower started into the social programming that was already inserted in those 35 pages now, since 2015, has been included in the Every Student Succeeds Act. So try that one on for size.
It's really nauseating. So we talked briefly about what parents can do in terms of having monetary control.
Yes.
But what can parents do? I mean, what's the timeline on this thing? How fast is this thing rolling out?
It's rolling out pretty quickly, because if they've all, since, no, there's no if, they've already released the Technical Assistance Center. So they are greasing the wheels. What we need to do to throw a wrench in the grease and stop the wheel is we need to access this proposal. We need to look at it, read it, dissent, and that's not enough. You need to get on the phone to every congressman and woman, whether you voted for them or you didn't, and you need to let them know not only is this a violation of a family's civil rights that was guaranteed to them under our Constitution as well as civil rights laws, but it is a corruption of the Family Right to Privacy Act that was gutted under Obama, which allowed for all the data mining. You know, look at what is going on in your area. Sure, there might be opt-out forms for some of the things you don't want, but what about the opt-in? You need to look at that, as Dr. Elena said, you know, from another perspective. Don't look at what's being left out. Look at what you can be included in. And sometimes that could be to your benefit, especially with the data mining. You need to also look at the public-private partnerships that are in your school districts or in your communities, because even if you're not in public school, this plan is casting a wide net over you. So be aware of what funding and what services could potentially come to your door, say, we're here from the government and we're here to take your children. You also want to dissent to this proposal. Let me give you that particular docket number so that you can go to the federalregistry.gov and look it up. It is docket number E as in Ed, D as in Dairy, dash 2022-OSERS. That's Oscar Sam Emily Roger Sam 0052. And then it's going to be titled Assistance to States for the Education of Children with Disabilities. That is the particular docket that you are looking for. You can take the time to read this particular document online. I printed it out so that I could take notes, and it is 40 pages long. But if you value your family's privacy, if you value your family's sanctity, take the sacrifice to take the time to read this. Find out what you don't know. Ask questions. If you don't know, then ask Dr. Elena. Ask me. She knows how to get in touch with me. We can help you navigate this. We also need to let our legislators know on a local level, at a state level, this is not constitutional. Nowhere in our federal constitution, which is superseding over state constitution, is this allowed. It is a violation of 20 U.S. Code Section 1232A, which prohibited the federal government from any insertion into education, be it resources, curriculum, funding, or technical assistance, because the technical assistance is where the algorithms and data mining will come in. That is the back door for innovation, Dr. Elena.
You know, this, you know, 20 years ago or so, there was the fight about the textbooks and what was going into the, you know, qualitative side. This is a whole nother level. We need to get off the mindset of it's about race and sex and, you know, economic status. This is about the health of a human being, of a child who doesn't deserve to have somebody put limits on them or categorize them as some having some sort of mental illness just because it fits their narrative.
Well, you know, I just thought of something, and we'll close with this if you want to. The U.S. government has a wicked mindset that it is their right to protect, not as we see fit, but as they see fit to fit the agenda. Well, the agenda is to kowtow to the Sustainable Development Goals, which we know goal number 3 is good health. So think about this. It's not the government's right to protect your family. It is your right. Take it back. Draw that line in the sand and say, go away.
I couldn't have said it better. I mean, it's once you give that power away, again, I want to reiterate, you're not getting it back. It's like you've just given your child away to this entity that is going to manipulate and control and decide the future. Nobody gets to decide the future. That should be you and your child. You know, suppose I can only imagine this, the flip side of this, where the child is fighting the system, trying to be themselves. That's just, I mean, just the mental anguish, physical and mental anguish at somebody. It's torture, honestly.
Well, it is. And the families who've already been ripped apart by some of this, it's absolutely heartbreaking. But we need to look at what our states are doing, Dr. Elena, because like here for an example, in North Carolina, we're taking beds from former facilities for substance abuse or, you know, things like that for adults, and we're turning them into beds that are ready for students. Now, just let that one sink in.
Wow. That's crazy. But meanwhile, there's people on the street, homeless, who need help and are being completely just foisted, not getting help at all and fending for themselves. How does this really play down the road when you think about this?
Since this encapsulates the entire community, the homeless will be put in there as well, because I know in the Every Student Succeeds Act, there is a caveat for a special population of each type of student, and homelessness are roped in there, and they have education acts that are supposedly, federal law, which, as we know, there is no federal law that relates to education because it's all unconstitutional. But my point is they'll find a way to do this, because again, that net is cast not over the school, but the community. And I can just see, the church, we the people and the church were supposed to be the hands and feet of Christ that took care of the widows and the orphans and the less fortunate. It was never, oh yeah, let's let the government do it.
It's frustrating, but at least knowledge is power.
Right.
Because it hasn't come on as a grid yet. It's still in the process of forming.
And that's why I'm saying we can stop it if we get enough people mad enough, which is why I'm trying to bring up some of these points in some of the ways that I have, as have you, so that we can see them put this ire into action, because that's what is needed. Take the hurt, take the anger, take the pain, the frustration, and turn it into a positive, because otherwise this will eat you up.
It's an absolute call to action, and it's time for people to get off the whatever sideline they're on and start getting in this particular game. On that note, Lynn, time goes way too fast, but I want to make sure that people know how to reach you and how to read what you write.
Okay. CommonCoreDiva.com is my website. You can find me on Twitter at Common Core Diva. I'm on Facebook, Common Core Diva, as well as U.S. Parent Call to Action. If you have questions or comments for me, email me at info@CommonCoreDiva.com, and I will be sure to get back in touch with you. And Elena, thank you so much for this. I tell you, this is very powerful. It's important, but we've got to get this message out.
Well, I'm blessed that I know you, and I want to thank you again, as usual, for everything you do and spending time with me and my listeners.
Well, thank you so much.
Thank you. And thank you, everybody, for living in the solution.
Revolutionary Talk for Revolutionary Times. Liberty Talk FM.